This is the last day of the year. Pastor Carl asked me if I would share some thoughts. Always when you get to the last day of the year and you look back at all the things you wanted to accomplish, all the things that didn't get done, maybe the failures in your life, there's always the hope for a new day and a new year. Tomorrow, 2018 starts. I remember 1992 was a really tough year in my life, my wife's life. And I remember on New Year's Eve, we were walking down the road. We were visiting my folks in South Carolina. We were living in Massachusetts at the time. And we looked at each other and said, thank God 1992 is almost over. 1993 can't be any worse than 92. We took a long walk, came to my mom's farmhouse in Lee County, and we had said, we're through. We made it. Nothing else. What else can go wrong? We walk in the door. She says, I got bad news. Your house got robbed. We just got a call. I thought, you know, I'm surprised the Lord didn't strike me dead. I looked up and said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. What a way to put the icing on the cake, the last day of the year. But 93 did get better. And there's always a future and a hope if you follow the Lord, according to the Bible. So I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to read some scriptures in the NIV version. And you've got to, let me set the picture for you a little bit. You know, if you're a member of this church, for a number of weeks, our pastor has preached a sermon on Moses' final address to the nation as they are getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses knew he couldn't go. But I want to go on up to just a few days before they actually enter. And God speaks to Joshua privately. And this is what he says to Joshua, who was now the leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon to the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or the right, or the right to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Okay, we'll stop right there. I titled this message, Getting Ready to Cross Over. The fullness of time had come. The Israelites had been waiting, praying, trusting. Well, some of them were. It was a pretty rocky time, part of that time in the wilderness. But for 40 years, they had this hope that one day this stage will be over and we will move into the fulfillment of God's promise. There's a verse in the Bible that says, by faith and patience, we inherit the promises. I don't like that patience end of deals. I like the faith end. But one of the most frustrating things to me in life, if I were to be honest, is having to wait on God to do what he says he's going to do. Am I alone in this? I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child, the doctor said she's going to be early. Well, 18 days or maybe 10 days, 12 days after the due date. She still not had the baby. And I remember how frustrated we were, like, wait a minute, there's a baby in there. Why won't she come out? We learned that that stubborn streak that she had later in life started in the womb. You know, sometimes it happens even in the womb. But sometimes that stubborn streak can be used for good, praise the Lord, and it's not always bad. But now they're at the edge of the Jordan River, and it's time. And the Bible says, get ready. Let's go back to the first verse. God says, get ready now. Get ready, because in a few days you're going to cross the river. And, you know, we're right on the brink of a new year. For some of you, it's a new day. God's going to do a new thing. And before he does a new thing, sometimes he will tell you, get ready. Get some loose ends tied together, because you don't want to be dragging a lot of things in to the new that need to stay in the old. So here's a couple of things, just certain things that I wrote down here. There's a time for action. Sometimes it's time to act. Listen to me. You've been wanting to ask that woman out to marry you. It ain't going to happen unless you take action and do it. There are many things. We can think about it. We can dream about it. We can pray about it. We can ponder about it. But unless we do something to move toward it, we'll never get there. You might not be a Christian today. I'm going to give you a little secret. God is not going to knock you down and drag you to some altar somewhere and make you do something against your will. You're going to have to decide, okay, I'm tired of putting it off. I think today I just need to do it. Now, somebody ought to amen there. My dad used to say one time, people would say, well, I'm aiming on paying that bill. I'm aiming, you know, I'm aiming, I'm going to pay you. I'm aiming. And one time my dad in frustration said, you know, you've been aiming for 3 years. For God's sake, pull the trigger. Sometimes we need to just do it. So here's the word that God gave Joshua. The first thing that he said was, Joshua, Moses is dead. You need to understand that something has changed. Something is over now. He's dead. Now you need to honor him. You need to think about him. Thank me for him. But what I'm going to do now has nothing to do with Moses, what I did with Moses. That's dead. That's in the past. So the first thing you got to do is deal with the past. Deal with the things that you just need to let go of. Let it die. There are certain things that are never going to happen. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and people misuse this, but there's a verse in the Bible that says, if possible, this is in Romans, if possible, so much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What does that say? That says sometimes it's not possible. You do everything you can. Sometimes it's not possible as far as it depends on you. Some things you just got to let go. And he said, Joshua, you got to let Moses go. He did a great thing. But you know what? I'm going to do something through you now. You might even have to let go this image that people have put you in, this box they've put you in, or that even you put yourself in. In Joshua's day, he was always considered Moses' servant, his aide. Since he was a young man, he was Moses' personal assistant. Whatever Moses needed, he was Moses' helper. Well, the Lord's saying to him, you know what? You're not the helper now. I'm going to do something new through you. I can use you. So don't be boxed in. Don't let your past experiences or your past failures box you in so that you can't become what God wants you to be. Moses is dead. You got to leave it alone. Another thing he said was, you need to remember, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You might feel insecure. Maybe it's a new job or whatever. You might feel insecure with doing what you feel God is leading you to, but he says, I'm never going to leave you. I didn't leave Moses. and I'm not going to leave you. And that's a great comfort. That's a great comfort. Every time I sing, every time I play, I have this deep sense, he's right here with me. He's not left me alone to try to do all this. I will never leave you, forsake you. The third thing that he told Joshua, this is verse 7. Can you pull that up, my Beth? Verse 7. He said, be strong and very courageous. But then he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. The third thing, this is so important. Read the Bible. Read it. Ponder it. Meditate on it. You can't be successful if you don't have a working knowledge of the Bible and how to walk, how to live. He said, don't let that law pass through your mind where you forget about it. Verse number 8, I think, goes on to say that. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. I want to tell you today that if you will obey the word of God, he will help you be successful. He will help you. I remember my dad one time, he was back in the 30s. He was really poor. He had a little country store and making his living off of 1 cent cookies, you know, and Coca-Colas. And he went to church. He came to the Lord as a 28-year-old. And he went to church one day and heard the guy talking about tithing. And the preacher went through the Bible about tithing and all that God said, give him 10%. And he went to the altar and he said, Lord, I can't afford this. And yet the man is preaching it, and I see it in the word, but I don't know. I don't think I can do this. I'm barely scraping by right now. But your word says, Malachi says, if you will do it, God will open up the windows of heaven, and he will help you. And so there's a decision in our lives that has to be made from time to time. Are we going to go with what the Bible says to do and step out in faith, believing that God will take care of us? Or are we going to stay back in fear and trying to figure it out? Well, my dad said, Lord, I will do it. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give my little 10%. You know, right after that, short time after that, within days, my dad and my uncle living in Lee County, they saw that Fort Jackson was going to be hiring painters. They were building barracks. It was right before World War II. Everybody kind of knew we were going to eventually get into it. So the Army was building barracks, and they put out this ad for painters. And it was one of those things where there's only a few jobs, and there's thousands probably lining up to try to apply for it. So my dad talked to his brother and another guy, and they says, we don't have a ghost of a chance, but what the heck? Let's just go. Let's go and put our name in the hat. Who knows? We're not doing very well selling cookies, you know. Well, so they go off to Fort Jackson. This was right after my dad made the decision, I'm going to base my life on what the Word of God says. And as they were going to Fort Jackson, true story, they looked and a guy had had a blowout, his tire had blown out, and they said, let's help this poor old guy. You know, he's in bad shape and we're young. Let's go change his tire. So they stopped and changed the guy's tire, and we're talking to him. And the guy said, where are you guys headed? And they said, we're going to Fort Jackson. We heard there's some jobs painting, and we know we don't have a chance, but we're just going to put our name. And the man looked at my dad and he said, guess what? I'm the guy in charge of hiring the painters. You're all three hired. You don't even have to go to Fort Jackson. Go on home. That was a direct result in my dad's mind of the decision he had made days before, that I will base my life around the word of God and not hold back. Now, the last thing he said was, keep your eye at all times. Later on, he said, as when we go in there, I want you to keep the Ark of the Covenant, I think it was 1,000 feet, or it was a good long distance away. And whenever you see the priest moving the ark, then move. Don't go anywhere the ark doesn't go. And that says to me that we've got to always have an eye and an ear and a desire to do the will of God at all times. The will of God, the prayer on our hearts. And God said to Joshua, this should be your prayer. What is the will of God? What does God want today? There's a daily walk. There's a daily walk. And he said, just go where I point the priest to go. Just do that. Don't take things in your own hand. Always pray for the will of God. Well, people ask me, how do you know the will of God? How do you know when something's the will of God? Well, there are several things. First of all, back to the Bible. It's not going to be something against the Bible. God's not going to tell you to commit adultery. Okay? Just if you hear a voice saying, go commit adultery, that ain't the right voice. Because the Word of God, it's got to agree with the Bible. The second thing, sometimes circumstances are not lining up. And sometimes you barrel through, but sometimes you say, you know, this isn't working out. Maybe I'm to wait a little bit. Here's the third thing, and I love this one. This is Colossians 3:15. And it says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. That word rule in that verse in the Greek language is the same word we get the word umpire from. So it says, let the peace of Christ umpire your hearts. Let the peace of Christ be the referee of your hearts. What does that mean? That means if you decide, you got a decision to make, should I go for this other job or should I stay? You pray and you say, God, give me a peace about which is the right one to go. And give it time. Dave Wilkerson said the will of God will grow on you. It will grow on you. You give it time. It will become greater and greater. If it's not of the Lord, it'll probably, you'll lose interest. But say, God, I'm going to go with the peace in my heart. I just don't feel a peace about it. Or I'm going this way, and prayerfully make that decision. But many times the Holy Spirit will be the one who will give you either a check in your spirit that this isn't the right move, or the peace will grow and grow. Let the peace of Christ be your umpire. And here's the last thing. Believe it or not, I'm going to let you out. And I got all kinds of things here I was going to say, but you know I get busy singing, and then I have such a good time, then the time's gone. But this is in a nutshell. This is what Paul said, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul is looking ahead. The past is over. Nothing he can do about the past. He's got this goal of how he wants to change and become a better man. He says here, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, say that with me, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing for you and me today, New Year's Eve 2017. Whatever happened in 2017 is behind. For good or for bad, it's behind. And we are to forget the past and put a single eye, like the song I sang, the hand on the plow. We've got to move ahead and say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to lead my life. I pray that you will help me in 2018 to be in your will and to accomplish your goal for my life. There is a purpose for you. There is a will for you. And it's a wonderful thing. Now I want us just to bow our heads just for one moment. And we're going to leave. But I don't want to quit this sermon without just throwing it out there. If some of you you've not given your life to the Lord. You're interested in the Lord. You've gotten to the place where you feel like one day you will come to the Lord. But you've got to make a decision sometime, and I just want to give you the opportunity to make that decision today. It's not hard to come to the Lord. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you will hear me, just open the door and I'll come in. And I want to just ask you today, if you're out there and you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I want you to come into my life. I want you to make me a new person. I want to go to heaven. And if you really want that, here's what you got to pray. And I'm going to pray it. And you repeat this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you are the Son of God. And that you love me so much you came to this earth and died for me. That if I would trust you, if I would follow you, you would take my sins away and let me go to heaven. And so today I come to you just as I am, with all of my sins, all of my troubles. And I simply ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life. Will you forgive my sins? I'm sorry. I need your help to turn from them, but with your help I will turn. But I'm sorry, Lord. Come into my heart. For the rest of my life, I want to follow you. And so I accept you as my Savior. I'm just wondering if anybody prayed that prayer. I'm not going to call you out, make you do anything. Did anyone pray that prayer and say, today, this is my turning point. I'm coming to the Lord. Anybody? Just raise your hand. That's all we're going to do. Wonderful. Great.